if the Apostle Paul or Peter or James or any of the writers of the New Testament came back today, there would be a shock in their minds, I believe, because not because of big buildings, even or mega churches or televangelists or anything like that. But I think their shock would be in the lack of transparency of the people that are called by the name of Christ. And so that there are all these separate universes that his people inhabit without the transparency so that whatever is going on is a common experience or a community experience. And I really, it can't be overemphasized how critical that kind of transparency is to your own well-being. You spend a lifetime being not transparent. And the whole process of why we need each other and why it's vital that the church is supposed to be this place where there's total vulnerability, total transparency. Because otherwise, you will. If you're not transparent, you will remain in bondage, and you will act your way through life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because you know, just think of how much time you've spent in your life learning to protect yourself from embarrassment, from being mocked, or all these other things, you know, that so you don't say what's there, and so you just continue to live and create these universes in your own mind, and somehow you just sort of slough it off that you know, God knoweth the thoughts of your heart. He sees everything. He knows everything before you do it. If you even think about, you know, doing something, it's as though you've already done it. And so, in each of the, as you know, before each of the feast days, the pilgrimage feasts, now the one that's coming up is, believe it or not, is already Passover. We have to start thinking about it. Let's go now to, that was all a predicate for what we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Now, we hear the word here, glorying, and we think in terms of pride, or somebody's running around being something, you know. But the word for glorying here doesn't have a good thing. It's either good or bad. It's the privatizing in your own mind of your activities, and it's glorying. And we can look that up and study it. It's an interesting study if you do. But your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So somehow glorying has something to do with leaven, because that's the predicate of it. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are
Excuse me.
As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, we keep the feast with not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I don't have to tell you what I think of sincerity, but the word here has a much deeper meaning. It means transparency. And sincerity is to be transparent in the kingdom of God. Now, what are these leavens? We look at them every year, right? Every year, the New Testament talks about the three leavens that must be purged before Passover. And the first leaven is the leaven of the Pharisees, and that's hypocrisy. There's something going on in you that's privatized. You haven't made it. It hasn't become a community experience, a common experience. So everybody understands hypocrisy. That's pretty easy to see, right? The next one is the leaven of the Sadducees. And that's not believing in the resurrection. Not believing that there is really, you are probably, if something happened, and you're not, for a time, you're convinced that the resurrection did not take place in you. It's not independent of you. So you are alone and left to your own devices, and you have to go through all these machinations that you've learned your entire life in order to just survive. So we got the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and the leaven of the Sadducees, which is not believing essentially in the power of God. So you have to protect yourself, right? And then the third one is the leaven of Herod. And these were all three different leavens spoken of by Christ, I believe, in the period just before the Passovers, so that he, with his disciples, talk about being vulnerable, they were together 24 hours a day for 3 years. There was no, they didn't sit down for a Bible study. They lived it. And they were going through the 3-year cycle, so they saw that he was a fulfillment of all the law, all the writings, and all the prophets. Now, it's just sort of my observation around here that maybe we better start removing the leaven early this year. Because I think we got some secret places where the leaven is hiding. Maybe you yourself have just found that those secret places are still there. Because you cannot celebrate Passover with leaven. I mean, you can celebrate the feast, but it won't be celebrating it. It will be doing something else. Like, you can't get baptized until you know you're dead. Otherwise, you just get wet. So you won't be able to celebrate the feast with any understanding if the leaven is remaining. You'll just have a meal. So, my exhortation to everyone is to start this process. Start at least the identification of the leaven. And again, remember, this all started back when we started talking about in Philippians that we are no longer going about establishing our own rightness. And I promise you, with all of these issues, that the need to be right is how it's revealed. Right? I need to be right here. Now, last night in our abbreviated Bible study, I taught last night, which is the first for a long time. But we talked about this whole issue of how people are still working it. So as long as you are still trying to work it, then you're in you internally. The reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And there's a million reasons for still working it. We talked about one of them being shame. We talked about many other things. But whatever it is, if you're still working it, that's the tell that you've got leaven. So if you, I just exhort you, let's not really just have a meal this Passover. Let's celebrate this feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It'll be risky. It always is if you do this right. But pray that God would give you the courage to be open. And stop playing games. If you believe in this God we are discussing, then you've got to know He knows what's going on, and He's just waiting patiently for you to come to the end of it. Right? Anybody have any response? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How come I have feel a sense of dread in the room?
Well, I'll be honest. I'm sitting here thinking, what the hell are you talking about Passover for? It's too early. We just finished all this stuff. We need a couple of weeks to just sit and be. No need to be getting shit from storage and setting up tents. It's too damn early.
Well, nobody's going to get anything from storage.
I know how ridiculous it is.
It's funny how our minds work, isn't it?
Huh?
I said it's funny how our minds work, isn't it? Good morning, Mike. What are you thinking? Well, leaven has the every year you tend to store up more. You may have gotten rid of some, most of it, but then you go back and the next year you get more leaven.
Dig back down into the sand. And then this wave comes and washes it away, and they're exposed. And it just repeats every 30 seconds throughout eternity. And that's what leaven means. It's like it's always, every morning, it's rebuilt itself. It's back. And every day, it's a question of the stomach while you're still in time.
If you remember, when we were studying this years ago, that one of the responses to the feast was back in millions of years ago. What's all this trouble you put us through every year? And it is trouble. It's trouble to your how can I say it? The walls of Jericho that you've rebuilt. It's trouble to the leaven that you have taken in, the eating of that which is leavened instead of that which we are to eat only of. In other words, gain sustenance and satisfaction from only the Son of Man and gain worth from only His blood. But because we are hardwired like we are, we pretty quickly we start gaining sustenance from other things. And when we do that, then we have to hide. When we hide, we got leaven. And we try, and then we try to work it. And so that's why these feasts were done every year for eternity, until for as long as time lasts. Because the feasts in Israel after the flesh, which was the type, the celebration of the feast was a primary way of causing them not to be mixed with the world system. And I believe it still is. It's not that you're not mixed with it in terms of you go out there, but you're not internally mixed with it. That's the only thing that counts.
What you're talking about right now, and my reaction that I just verbalized, it's the same thing as thinking that salvation is the end. It's, okay, I walk the aisle, I accepted Jesus, I'm done. Don't bug me. I finished the year, we went through Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, and we got it all done, and now it's the new year, and leave me alone. I'm saved. This is what the mind is. Build a wall around me,
can I
say,
because
it don't
screw. Well, this is the whole point of this, is the next few verses, and I'll finish. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with the idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to even eat. For what do I have to do? How come I can't read that? But for what have I... Thank you, Ronnie. I needed that.
Send it out.
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? In other words, that's none of my business. Now, and again, here, he's the predicate of this is for the feast. Right? And so the intent or the idea is that as we are going to the feast, and you know, depending on how and what has happened to you internally, it's the tell of how far you have to travel to get back to the New Jerusalem. You know what I'm saying? There could have been a thing that was revealed to you just, you know, month ago or something, that took you all the way to China in terms of being in the New Jerusalem. Well, you could have any part of your schedule interrupted. But that's why you can't hold the feast in China, or can you hold it in Dallas? Feast has to be held in the New Jerusalem, and we have to know that that's where we are seated in order to do the feast properly. Well, let me understand it. So, if my response, if anyone says to me, "This is too early," is that you must be on the other side of the earth. It's like the thing that happens with in Purim, which is the celebration before Passover. you're supposed to drink sufficient wine so you no longer know the difference between blessed be Mordecai and cursed be Haman. But if you're spiritual, then just a touch of the wine on your lip will put you there, because you are no longer judging for yourself good and evil. You see, Christ is all in all. But the whole idea of this, remember, while time exists, it's still possible for you to, in an instant, to leave the promise and go all the way to the other side of the earth and maybe even fly to Mars or somewhere. Because you're that far away from this mystery of the New Jerusalem. The feasts, the purpose of them is to bring us back, seated on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, at the first source of all things, so you can't have a need, at the place of perfect love and perfect peace, so you can't have to be concerned with your worth or your sustenance or anything else. And therein is contentment. There's absence of againstness. Okay?
So when it's saying not to come to the fornicator, it's
talking about for the Feast of Passover. Yeah, otherwise, we'd have to disband. But remember, fornicators doesn't just mean sexual activity. It's anyone. It's going anywhere else other than God for your wine, your corn, and your oil, your sustenance.
So when it says any man that is called a brother, is that a brother in Christ?
Yeah, it's a particular word that means out of the same womb. It's so identifiable.
So would that say that you would not allow that person to be part of the
beast? No, it's not. It has no. It's not a point. This isn't an option. It's not a what is. I mean, an option. It's a what is. He won't be able to be. He might be there physically, but he's not there spiritually because of all of the other crap that's going on. No, I mean, you remember after the third admonition, reject. Well, we'd have to be. I'd have to kick myself out about 43 times, and we wouldn't be here. You know, in terms of how you see that, is after the third admonition, he more than likely is rejected. I mean, he is separated. That's the evidence, because there's the humility wasn't there to let it come forth. There are no options in here. As I told you, if one thing in here was an option, I'd throw the whole thing out. It's just a declaration of what is, and whether you're in the what is position or you're in the I'd like to be position, or I want to be there. Is that clear? Ronnie, we need to keep him in our prayers because he's going through this. He's going to have the surgery Monday, and it's a big deal, so be sure to keep him. Yeah. Did you see, you know that Michelle Chantadino last night?
No.
I spent much of the morning praying for her. But they may not have seen the email. I'm sorry. Go ahead and say what. Right, and you need, and she needs somebody to watch Bella and Sydney on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
Will you sort of? I usually ask Carolyn, but will you coordinate that with somebody? Will you be around? Okay. Well, just let me know if there was any problem. All righty. Take it, big guy.